This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We begin with Andy McCarthy, Fox News contributor, longtime federal prosecutor, also a best-selling author. Andy, we so appreciate you making time for us. I know the demands on your time are myriad. So welcome back and thank you.
Guy, thanks so much. It beats having a real job, so I can't complain too much.
All right, you used to be in the courtroom prosecuting cases. Now you're watching this all play out and analyzing what's happening in Lower Manhattan. This is former President Trump, this now weeks-long trial about the hush money payments involving a porn star and the way that they were categorized on the books. And Alvin Bragg has decided to do something that his predecessor in the office declined to do, that the feds declined to do, which is to say, yep, this was a crime, and not only a crime, not just the misdemeanor, which has lapsed, it's a felony. In fact, it's dozens of felonies, and we can put him in prison for a very long time, and the theory of the case we'll come back to, because I'm admittedly mystified by this, Andy. I want to start, though, with some of the testimony over the last few days. Hope Hicks, the former Trump aide, she took the stand. Her testimony was widely described as emotional. What do you think the actual impact of her testimony was, like the big takeaways?
Yeah, I really don't think, if you look at the just what the charges are in the indictment, I think her testimony is close to irrelevant. It's helpful to Trump in the sense that she said some things that would be helpful to for him to argue that he wasn't concerned about the campaign finance laws. I doubt, actually, that Trump was even thinking about the campaign finance laws. What he was worried about is whether these alleged sexual relationships that he had, extramarital affairs in 2006, that the publicity about them, whether they happened or didn't, he denies they happened, that would be embarrassing for his family, and that was what he was focused on. And she gave some testimony that was helpful in that regard. But she had, you know, I thought the most telling thing, Guy, was the last question she was asked on last Friday afternoon, which is, when you were down in Washington working in the White House, did you have anything to do with the management and the keeping of the Trump Organization's business records 200-plus miles away in New York City? And she, of course, said she didn't. And the question was asked precisely because after 2 weeks of testimony, that was the first time any witness was asked about what the case is actually supposed to be about, which is, did Trump falsify his business records in 2017?
Right. And now we have Stormy Daniels and details coming out, sordid personal sexual allegations. Talk about this. I mean, it feels like what the prosecution, again, this is just my impression, what the prosecution wants to do is get 12, in their mind, hopefully Democrats like them, into a jury box and say, look at this guy, Donald Trump. You don't like him. We don't want him to win again. That's sort of the unstated part. He's not a good person. His character is bad. Let's not believe him on the affairs. And just trust us. There's a crime here. Let's just do the thing. That seems to be what they're shorthand, what they're getting at here. Bad guy, we're going to tell you there's a crime, just convict because, you know, gut instinct, we all know he's probably guilty of something. Maybe that's overstating things, but what else is the purpose of really going through in really gruesome detail some of the alleged sexual acts, for example?
There's no proper purpose in it. to remind your listeners, Guy, that the charge in the indictment is that Trump falsified his business records in 2017 fraudulently, Bragg says, to cover up his commission of another crime, which he alleges to be a federal campaign finance violation. Now, even if you credit Bragg's version of what happened here, whether or not Trump had a sexual encounter with Stormy Daniels is utterly irrelevant to the charges in the indictment, because whether he did or he didn't, what the case is about is how they booked his reimbursement of Michael Cohen for a $130,000 payment that Cohen undoubtedly, inarguably made to Stormy Daniels, which was for a non-disclosure agreement that silenced her and would have silenced her regardless of whether what she was saying was true or untrue. So the encounter is not relevant to the charges, and that, it's not enough to say that, because the testimony that came out today was basically a minute-by-minute description of how the sexual encounter occurred, where the only concession prosecutors made was that they wouldn't elicit testimony about her description of his genitalia. But everything else was fair game, and it was so bad that Judge Merchan, who allowed all of it to happen over the strenuous objections of Trump's lawyers, then sent the jury out of the room and admonished the prosecutors for doing what Merchan allowed them to do. So it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Why would he do that? Just to kind of make it seem like he's somewhat fair-minded? He knew what he was doing when he greenlit this.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the reason he's doing it is it's so obvious to anybody who knows, you know, this neck of the woods, that commentators and appellate tribunals are going to look at this record and say, how did the judge let that in? And he'd rather have some seeds in the record that he's sown to say that maybe the prosecutors misled him. But I think you're exactly right. Everybody knew what she would say. This is not the first time.
This is Stormy Daniels herself, by the way, right? Stormy Daniels on the stand. And she's she said this publicly, and now she's saying it under oath. Could the argument maybe be, Andy, and I don't know how, you know, things are sometimes deemed, you know, relevant and pertinent or not based on a certain prosecution of the case or however the judge views things as being, you know, fair or not. But could the argument be that you need her on the stand to describe these sexual encounters because Trump insists that they didn't happen, and so to discredit his honesty and to impugn his credibility on other matters, you are proving to the jury that he's lying about the sex? Could that be the reason behind this?
That would be one argument in favor of it. The problem that the argument has, if you're going to follow the law accurately, is that when a question like that comes up, Guy, what a judge is supposed to do is weigh the probative value of the testimony against the potential prejudicial impact of it. And here, the government has a ton of evidence to go after Trump on his credibility, if that's what their intention is.
Well, and
by
the way,
it won't.
Can I just say,
maybe
there are Trump supporters out there who believe him when he says this didn't happen. But I think almost everyone absolutely believes that Donald Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels and then paid her not to talk about it because he paid her a huge sum of money that he would have no other reason in an NDA context to be giving someone of her line of work in the pornography industry. So, like, You can say, well, he's lying about this. It's like an obvious lie, a politician lying about sex, which I know we were told for a long time didn't matter if there was a D next to the name of the president, for example. But in this case, I think it's almost just stipulated by nearly everyone that this happened, which is why the payment happened in the first place. That is a completely different question than anything criminal happening, which seems like it should be the whole point of a criminal trial.
Yeah. See, Guy, the thing is, what you just articulated, the key part of that is Everybody knows this happened. Nobody believes Trump that it didn't happen because the payment happened.
Right.
And the thing is, there's no dispute that the payment happened. And therefore, whether the sex happened or not is irrelevant because the question in the case is how they booked the payment.
Right.
And if it was
so all the sexual details is it's all gratuitous for the purpose of getting the jury to be like, yeah, see, it's a bad guy. And you might say, hey, it's wrong to go have sex with a porn star and then pay her off with the hush money. A lot of people would be, you know, offended. Their values would not align with that, obviously. That is still, you know, a bunch of sort of razzle-dazzle, look at this bad guy stuff in the context of what actually should be at issue in the trial, which is, were laws broken, let alone felony laws broken, and can you prove it? Because at least from where I sit as just a civilian following the trial somewhat closely, it seems like they haven't really come close to that yet. Let me ask you then, relatedly, I've heard a number of analysts talk about how there's like a second crime here that the prosecution hasn't even explicitly laid out yet. Is that correct? How is it possible for there to be a second crime, which would be essential to proving, you know, the larger case against Trump, if the public or the defense or everyone involved hasn't really been made aware of what it is yet? Is it being overly simplified, described that way? What's that about?
No, the way you've described it is accurate. And the reason people ask with wonder, you know, how is that possible, is because in the United States, under the Fifth Amendment, if they want to indict you, if the prosecutors want to indict you for a felony, they have to get an indictment from a grand jury with indication in the indictment that the grand jury found probable cause of every element of the crime, which means the indictment has to explain to you, put you on notice of exactly what it is the government has charged you with. And even more fundamentally, under New York constitutional law, a statute, if it's going to be used as a criminal statute, has to include all of the things that you need to do to be guilty under the statute. In other words, in New York, they don't allow what's called incorporation by reference. You're supposed to, in a statute, lay out everything that is necessary to put somebody on notice. So this is not supposed to happen in New York or America, but that's exactly what's happened. The indictment charges falsification of business records to commit another crime, but Bragg does not say what the other crime is. And he's hedged even to this point.
How is the defense supposed to defend against a crime that isn't being revealed by the people bringing the case?
The judge has allowed them to do it. What Bragg has said is the New York statute says another crime, which means any other crime I can think of can be the crime that Trump was trying to commit or conceal. And he says that he doesn't have to tell him what it is.
What?
He's got three different theories of what it could be. And what he hopes is that at the end, the jury will be instructed on those possibilities.
So he just throws it out there like, well, it might be this other crime, or it might be that other crime, or maybe this other one. In your mind, whichever one it needs to stick to get to guilty, you just come up with that, jury. That is crazy. Is this one of the obvious grounds for appeal?
I think it's the most obvious ground for appeal. There are a number of other ones, but I think the indictment, as I said when it was returned, the indictment fails as an indictment. In the United States, an indictment is supposed to describe for the defendant what he's charged with, and the indictment in this case doesn't do that.
Are they violating Trump's constitutional rights here? Forget the gag order, which he's complaining about.
Right.
He might have a fair point there. Are his constitutional rights as a defendant being violated just by what you've just described?
Yes, you have a right under the Fifth Amendment to be indicted by a grand jury. In other words, in our country, a prosecutor can't just sit down and write a charge against you and then take you to trial. They have to prove in the grand jury that there's probable cause of all the elements of a criminal offense.
Right, and then they've got to give it to you and to your counsel so you can defend yourself against the crimes that they're alleging that you've committed. But in this case, they're like keeping one of them secret, basically, for the purposes of this whole scheme. I am not a Trump defender reflexively. It is hard to look at this thing other than an absolute sham from top to bottom, this case. And it's the one that's going first, Andy, and we only have like less than a minute left. All it takes is one juror, right, to say enough. This is preposterous.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Guy. But I think to your point, this is why a lot of smart, honest Democrats have looked at this and said this case is a joke and it actually will help Trump undermine the more serious cases against him, because this, in the public mind, this is the face of lawfare.
Well, what a way to start this Tuesday here on the Guy Benson Show. Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, current Fox News contributor with us. Andy, thank you.
Thanks, Guy.
That was yet another Benson Bite. For full episodes of the Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.